This opportunity to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. Especially proud to see little Nicholas with us this morning and his grandparents here to help out Allison. And we've longed for the day when we get to meet him and see him. And we're certainly glad to have each and every one of you here this morning to worship the Lord with us. On my mind this morning is something that's familiar to all of you as old Baptists. For the most part, and I looked over your articles of faith in the back, and yours are not exactly like most of them are, but pretty much the same. But for the most part, this that I want to speak to you about is one of the doctrines of the Articles of Faith of the Primitive Baptists. And I've always been interested when I look at and study the Articles of Faith of the Primitive Baptists, how knowledgeable and thoughtful our forefathers were in putting these things together. They're in a particular order, and the order of them is important. And most of them start out with that we believe in one true and living God, and we believe in the Trinity. Well, if you're going to start with something, that ought to be the first point to start with. That ought to be the very first item, is that we believe there is a God in heaven. We believe that He exists and He created the heaven and the earth. Generally, the second article of faith for most primitive Baptists are that we believe that He has a word. We believe in the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God. And if there is a God and He has a word and He's written to us, that's important. That the second thing we need to establish is that God has a word. Generally, the third item is that we believe in the doctrine of election, that God chose and elected His people before the foundation of the world, because none of us would be here if He hadn't, and He hadn't given us life to seek after Him and to want to worship Him. And it's the fourth one that I want to deal with. Generally, it's called the doctrine of original sin. And when I think about that, I think of myself and my own experience. I think of how hard it was for me to ever come to the doctrine of grace, to ever understand that salvation was based on something that God did for me and not something I did to make God or cause God to give it to me. That was hard. I think this fourth item is the key to understanding how it is that it must be by grace. It cannot be by work. The doctrine of original sin. Now, what does that mean, the doctrine of original sin? The doctrine of original sin means that when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and God made Adam and He created him and He made him from the dust of the earth, and the scripture tells me that He made him good and very good. And whenever He made him good and very good, He gave him all that he needed in the Garden of Eden. He had everything. He had no need of anything. But He gave him one commandment to keep. And that commandment was to not partake of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. You can have all the fruit of all the trees of all the others, but don't take that one. And so Adam transgressed that commandment from God. And when Adam transgressed that commandment from God, he plunged himself and all that come after him into a state of death in trespasses and in sin. Why? Because God told him very clearly that in the day that thou eatest of the garden that I forbid thee to eat from, thou shalt surely die. And when he did, he caused a death of himself and all that came after him into a state of death in trespasses and in sin. And that's what the doctrine of original sin means. It means sin originated with our federal head, Adam. Now we want to look at some scripture here, and we want to begin in the book of Romans. You know, I told you here a while back as I was speaking that it'd be a good idea to read through the book of Romans once a month. Read through the Bible once a year, but through the book of Romans once a month. I try to make that a practice. I've already read through it 4 times. I'm pretty much through with it 5 times because this is the month of May, the 5th month of the year. Why is this book so important? Well, to me it's important because it expresses what we were by nature and what we've been brought from by the grace of God. Basically, just saying it in a phrase, that's what the book of Romans does. But it tells us about what we are by nature. In chapter 3, verse 23, it says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now that's all have sinned. All who? All that are from the seed of Adam. Every single one that's from the seed of Adam have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That describes each and every one of us. Why? Because we, each and every one of us, took our seed to be born into this world from our Father. And as a result of it coming from our Father, all the way back to Adam, each one inherits the nature of sin. That's why Paul can say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This one chapter here describes some deplorable conditions about what we are in sin. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by practice. But you know, the good news is that for those who are God's children and have received the gift of life that came to you by the grace of God, you have something within you that's greater than he that's in the world. In other words, you have something within you, which is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory that can lead you out of sin and away from sin. Does that mean we'll be perfect and sinless if we follow Jesus? No, it doesn't, because we continue to have that war between the flesh, which is sinful, and the spirit, which is from God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the doctrine of original sin. Turning over now to the book of Romans chapter 5, we'll read these two scriptures. Says in verse 12 of chapter 5, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." What was that one man? Adam. "By Adam sin entered into the world, and death by sin." In other words, when Adam sinned, there was a death that occurred to all that come forth from the seed of Adam. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And that's why we have the proclamation of death upon each and every one of us. Even though we've been given eternal life, yet in this flesh and in this body, we're all slowly dying every day. We have the sentence of death upon us as a result of sin that's in our body. All have sinned, all have sinned. And then in verse 13 he says, "For until the law, sin was in the world." You know, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, and God with his finger wrote on the tables of the law the Ten Commandments. He gave us the law. The law was that was our schoolmaster to show us that we're sinners. If we didn't have the law, we wouldn't know what sin is. If we didn't have the law, we wouldn't know that we were sinners. We wouldn't know that we are doing wrong according to what God wants us to be and wants us to do. The law was given to as our schoolmaster to teach us that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Yes, men are sinners here in the world. Well, where did it begin? I've already told you already where it began. Let's go over there and read a little bit there from the book of Genesis as to where it all began. You see, God had created Adam, and then he took a rib from Adam, and he created from that rib Eve, a helpmeet for Adam. And that was the first marriage, actually. Adam and Eve, they were husband and wife. They were in the Garden of Eden. God had given them all that they needed. And then the serpent appeared unto Eve. And it tells us a little bit about this, and we'll read some of it here. This is where sin actually originated. This is the doctrine of original sin. Chapter 3 of the book of Genesis says this: Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now the key to that is the serpent was a beast of the field which God himself had made. God made the serpent. And the serpent then came to Eve, and it says, And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman then replied unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. We've got plenty to eat here, she says. We can just have our fill of all of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And then she says, But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now that's a simple command. Seems like it would be easy to keep. Here it was. You had all you needed. Everything was supplied. Just don't touch this one in the center. Don't touch this one in the middle, because in the day that you do, ye shall surely die. Well, then this is when the old serpent, or I like to call this really Satan's tempting the woman to go against that God had told her. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Well, if she'd have been smart, she'd have said, God knows what he's talking about. He said, I'd die. If I do it, I'll die. But the serpent said, Ye shall not die. Ye shall surely not die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That's where it began. That's the doctrine of original sin. It started right there. When the woman disobeyed God, took of the fruit of the midst of the tree of the garden, ate of it, then gave it to her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why? To hide their nakedness. Something else was now in their mind that wasn't there before. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Well, before this, they never had any desire to hide themselves from God, but now they've done that God told them not to do, and the guilt was there because of their disobedience unto God. And so they hid themselves from God when they heard him walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the Lord called out unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" This is not a question to indicate that God didn't know where Adam was, because God knew exactly where he was. God wanted Adam to respond as to where he was. He wanted Adam's response. "Where are you, Adam?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, and because I was naked, I hid myself." And he said, "Who art thou who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, and thou shouldest not eat?" Well, when God asked him that question, he knew already that he'd done that. He knew by his very attitude that he was hiding from God, and that saw himself as naked. And then, now this is crucial, because this describes human nature in its fullest. This next scripture does. It says, and the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave it to me, she gave me of the tree." Now here was Adam. He transgressed. What did he do? First, what's the first thing Adam did? He blamed it on God. He said, "Lord, it's your fault. It was that woman that you made for me. She made me eat it." He didn't take upon himself his own responsibility and his own guilt for what he'd done. He blamed it on God. He said, "Lord, it was that woman you gave me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And then the Lord God then said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman, she did the same thing. She said, "Lord, it was the serpent, the one, Lord, over there that you made." She blamed God. She said, "Lord, it was the serpent, the one that you made. He's the one that beguiled me and talked me into taking of the fruit and eating of it." Isn't that human nature? We get caught in something, and the first thing we do is try to blame someone else rather than taking the responsibility of our actions upon ourselves. And then the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Yes, the doctrine of original sin. That's where it all began. And it's plagued mankind all the way down through the ages of time, even down unto this very day in which we live today. I want to turn now to the book of Psalms, where we'll find another inscription as to the doctrine of original sin. And this is in the 51st chapter of the book of Psalms. This is the psalm that King David wrote or penned down by God's inspiration, of course, because of the weight and the burden and the guilt that he felt for a great sin that he committed with Bathsheba. He'd had her husband sent to war and killed so he could take her for his wife. And he knew it was wrong. And he knew he was guilty. He was guilty before God. And in this 51st Psalm, King David describes the awful condition of man in sin. He says, beginning at verse 3, we won't read through this whole thing, but it says, here's what David says, I acknowledge my transgressions. In other words, he's telling God, I acknowledge to you my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And then in verse 5, he describes the doctrine of original sin and what we all were when we were conceived in our mother's womb. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's why the Apostle Paul could write in the book of Romans, all have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God. We're sinners in the flesh by nature. We're sinners in the flesh by practice. It's the doctrine of original sin. And the reason I say that it is important for us to understand that is, you see, when you are searching for the truth and you're trying to come to the knowledge that salvation is of the Lord and that salvation came to you when you were not able to do anything of yourself, you must see this doctrine of original sin. You must see what we were in nature. And when you see what you were in nature, then you can understand. You know, the hardest thing for me to give up was, at least a sinner must believe in Jesus. No, a sinner cannot, in nature, cannot believe in Jesus. That's where you got to come to. You got to see that you're not able to do it of yourself. It doesn't come from this nature. While you were yet dead in trespasses and in sin, God quickened you. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 says that you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Well, if you were dead and you were in trespasses and you were in sin, then how could you expect someone in that condition to do something to obtain salvation from God? It's impossible. And you must come to that conclusion. It's impossible for a sinner in his nature of sin to come to the knowledge and belief of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why the apostle could write in 1 John chapter 5 verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You know that scripture right there? Turned it around for me. Because it's so plain. How can you miss it? That tells me you find a person that believes that Jesus is the Christ, it's because he was born again. Also, there's another scripture that said that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Salvation's by grace. Salvation by what God reached down and did for you when he quickened you and gave you life. How wonderful it is to have that, one thing, but more than that, how wonderful it is to know it, and to believe it, and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in it. God bless you. May God continue his blessings upon this church and this congregation. Pray for Brother Will Martin now as he comes to preach to you.
Myself for a day from that blessed tree.